The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They are all gathered together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news to the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistles from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I may come too and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. Story of a church that had a real cranky neighbor. This atheist hated the church, he hated the people in it, he hated the preacher. There just wasn't a whole lot about the church this man really liked. One thing, though, he did enjoy was irritating the people in the church. For example, when a visitor would come to the church and would park in front of his house or on his property, he would immediately have it towed away. Imagine the joy of that. You go to visit a church, come out, and your car's not there. Either you got a cranky neighbor or you live in Detroit. Anyway, when the leaves from the church's trees would blow on his yard, he would immediately call the city and complain. City had an ordinance, your grass could only be so high. So he would wait until it was just a millimeter or two above that height, immediately call the city. Well, the church decided that the best thing they could do was to pray that God would do something to change this man's heart. And they prayed week after week, and happened that a tornado came through that town, spared the church entirely, but wiped out the atheist's home. Well, needless to say, he was pretty upset. He decided it was the church's fault, and he was going to take the church to court, make them pay to rebuild his house. He said the reason that the church was financially responsible is they prayed to God that something would cause me to change my heart, and then my home gets destroyed in a tornado. Judge listened to both sides, and he finally just threw the case out. He said, this is absolutely ridiculous. We have an atheist who does not believe in God, but believes prayers are answered. We've got a church who believes in God and said, no, he doesn't answer prayers. That little story about that church and the atheist, the overall idea kind of fits right into our gospel lesson. You know, we're so used to the story of the wise men coming, and again, notice no number is given, but we're so used to it, sometimes we overlook a very strange situation that's taking place here. We have King Herod. King Herod's way of controlling his kingdom was through assassination. Wow. If you were a threat to him, suddenly you had a knife in your back. Or your food tasted strangely just before everything went black. He certainly was not a God-fearing man. He only built the temple as a way to bribe the Jews, because the Jews hated him so bad. He goes, well, if I build this temple, that'll at least keep them happy for a little while. So why does this atheist now turn to the scribes and the priest to find out what these wise men are talking about? Notice he never cared about scriptures beforehand. Now suddenly he believes it. And he takes it seriously enough that when he finds out where the Christ child is, he sends out troops to take care of Jesus. And you got to kind of wonder why such an atheist of a man, a terrible human being, would turn to the scriptures to find the Christ. You know, that looks real bad, a clear cup and orange juice. Hey, at least it ain't a red Solo cup. Anyway. Oh, well. So why does this atheist now suddenly turn to God? Well, maybe the answer can be found in James chapter 2. You believe that God is one, and you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So old King Herod, a man who had no right to be on the throne of David. He wasn't even a full-blooded Jew. He was a king appointed by Rome, and we know just how much the Jews of that time loved Rome. And Herod was a man who was constantly suspicious that everybody was plotting against him, to the point where he even had his own wife and two brothers killed because they were plotting. We have no idea if they were, but Herod just made sure. You know, if you whack one or two, maybe you need to whack three or four, just to be sure. And he certainly opposed this idea of a newborn king. Now, let's look at the priests. These are the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They've been studying this since childhood. Their training would have started about age 8 to 10. So they have been studying this basically their entire life. They knew what the scripture said. They taught it. Notice they could even recite from memory to Herod what the passage said as to where the Messiah would be born. So you have the absolute experts, in their minds, of the law of Moses. They see the prophecy being fulfilled before their eyes, but yet these, the learned men who should know the scriptures and did, don't even want to bother to go find out who is this that has been born in Bethlehem. So get this, the atheist king wants to find the king, and the priests who have been waiting centuries for the king to appear, once they believe he has, they don't go and see him. Herod's actions are totally not logical. Neither are the actions of the chief priests. They were supposed to believe, but no action. As I said, they didn't even bother to check it out. Wait a minute, the wise men, these men have come from afar to tell us they've seen the star. Scripture says he'll be born in Bethlehem. So let's just sit here and do nothing. Now, would that make any sense to any of you? All right, let's put it in more simpler terms. I got $1 million sitting right here. Anybody who comes... Thanks, Doug. Y'all didn't see it. He was about to run. Anybody who wants it, first one up here gets it. Now, who's going to sit hit there? Are y'all coming up? The priests know right where the Messiah is. We're pretty sure this is him, so I'm just going to sit here and not do anything. Now, let's look at the wise men. Now, this absolutely had to puzzle them. They said they come from a distance. Okay? They see this star. It leads them to Jerusalem. Okay. Well, if they found it in the scriptures, this is where he's going to be. Okay. Who do you ask? The chief priests. They're going to know where he's going to be born exactly, right? The chief priests get there and say, huh? We didn't hear anything about this. You would think if the Messiah had been born, all of Judea would have been talking about the new king. It does say in Luke that the shepherds, when they saw the angels and then went and worshiped the Christ child, they went and told everybody they could about what they had seen. 8 days later, this Christ child is taken to the temple where Simeon and Anna proclaim to everyone that he is the Christ child. So all the way from the common people of Bethlehem up to and in the temple itself, it is pronounced, he is here. I mean, Simeon's story comes down to us through the centuries, not only because it's included in the scriptures, but it's part of our liturgy. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. So do you think the people in the temple should know what's going on? So help me, one day I'm going to get 3/4 of you to answer. All right. So the chief priests don't know. The temple doesn't seem to know. Well, surely the king would know. No, he doesn't know either. In fact, Jerusalem itself is afraid of this news. Do you just realize the great irony in this whole story? They're expecting to go to a city where everybody's going to know where the new king is, and nobody knows, and when they find out where he's been born, they're all afraid. I've got to wonder if the wise men themselves didn't go, did we make a mistake? You know, that'd be kind of like expecting to go to a relative's house for Christmas dinner and you get there and they don't even realize it's Christmas. You know, it's that's kind of like, huh? What's going on? What? I think that's kind of maybe the reaction of the wise men. But they went anyway. Everything told them from a purely human standpoint, this isn't right. Nobody knows what's going on. Maybe we're wrong. That's a pure human view of it. But yet in faith, they follow the star to Bethlehem itself. And they find the king. It says they fell down and worshiped him. And they bring him gifts. Not ironically, but I believe by God's design, these three gifts explain the roles of Christ on earth as prophet, priest, and king. Gold. That was a possession of kings. All right? In this time period, you did not walk around with a bag of gold coins. Not a smart idea, plus worth too much. Gold was the currency of kings. See, if John and I were trading, okay? John needs some of that great wheat I grow, okay? And John wants it, and I said, you know, John, I'll take it for three or four sheep. That's what we trade in. We don't pass gold back and forth. When kings need to pay for armies and these big transactions, that's what they use gold for. One of the gifts is gold. He is king. Frankincense is this sap that comes from a tree. And it's very fragrant when it's burnt. And every day in the temple, frankincense was burned by the high priest. He was the only one that could burn the incense. So there's his role as high priest. Myrrh is another resin from a tree. Do you ever wonder how they came up with the use of this stuff? Ah, look, there's tree sap. Let's burn it. Anyway. Yes, I do stay up late nights thinking of these things. Okay, resin also comes from a tree. Its name means bitterness. There is Christ's role as prophet. He sees what's coming down the road at Calvary, the bitterness of that. Excuse me. If you look at the different groups in this story, it really kind of also represents how people receive the Word of God. The different groups represent how people receive the Word of God. Herod is very antagonistic towards it. The chief priests are apathetic, and the wise men are enthusiastic. And you know what? We all start our lives a lot like Herod, because we're antagonistic to God. We are born enemies of God, but through the waters of baptism, we are made the children of God. Without Christ, I can act like the nicest person you'd ever want to meet. But am I a friend of God or a child of God? No. Inwardly, I'm rebelling. And by the way, Christians rebel inwardly too, but we do have God's grace. Some rebellion against God is pretty subtle. Some is very open, like Herod's. And then we got the chief priests. They hear it, but it has little impact. I think we can all agree that the world is pretty apathetic when it's not hostile to the Word of God. Yeah, I know that. But does it really matter? Yes, my complaint about the Christmas season when those newscasters or celebrities are talking about, oh, Christmas, this is a wonderful time of year where we have friends and family and we all come over and throw mashed potatoes and just experience love. Without talking about what the holiday's about. So the world's either hostile or very apathetic to them. Now the wise men, they represent those who hear the Word of God and it makes an impact. The wise men had come to worship the King of Kings. The King of Kings who had never rebelled against God the Father, who would keep the law of God perfectly from his birth to his death. After his death, he overcomes the grave itself. And then he says to his people, you are forgiven. I'm declaring you righteous. Welcome to heaven by faith. From this point in the church year now forward, we look at how Christ reveals himself to us. How he revealed himself at his baptism. his life, his perfect sacrifice, and his fulfillment of all scriptures. And going to conclude with John chapter 20, verse 31. They are written as of all of God's word is written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by that believing you may have life in his name. Amen. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ into life everlasting. Amen.